Yeah, I have a word on my heart this morning for us. Something we have heard many times in this church. And I believe God will remind us of what He has promised in the Scriptures. It says in the Message Bible, first of all, that God is constantly on the lookout for those who are totally committed to Him. And the word we know from our Bibles, for the eyes of the Lord move to and fro throughout the earth, that He may strongly support those whose heart is completely His. The 2 Chronicles 16:9. The eyes of the Lord move to and fro throughout the earth. Even this morning and every day. That He may strongly support those whose heart is completely His. I'd like you to turn to that. In 2 Chronicles in chapter 16. 2 Chronicles chapter 16. That's God's word to King Asa. And we want to look at that in its context. And I believe that God would remind us that that is what He's in the business of doing. Strongly supporting those whose heart is not partially His. 99% or 99.9%, but those whose hearts are completely His. 100%. And totally committed to Him, God will strongly support those. Such are the ones that God is on their side, not only on their side, but He'll manifest His power. Like we see He did in Asa's life. Asa's one of the few kings that did right in the sight of God. There were some others like Amaziah who did right, but not with a whole heart, we read. But Asa was one of those who, in chapter 14, if you turn back, in verse 2, Asa did good and right in the sight of the Lord. For he removed the foreign altars and high places, tore down the sacred pillars, cut down the Asherim, and commanded Judah to seek the Lord God of their fathers and to observe the law and the commandment. He also removed the high places and the incense altars from all the cities of Judah, and the kingdom was undisturbed under him. God strongly supports those whose hearts are completely His, like we see He did for Asa. We read in that chapter that Asa had an army of 300,000 from Judah, 280,000 from Benjamin, bearing shields and wielding bows. All of them were valiant warriors. And here was a crisis. Here was a situation that he met. It says, Zerah the Ethiopian came out against him with an army of 1,000,000 men. Double the amount of men that he had, and 300 chariots, and he came to Marisha. So Asa went out to meet him, and they drew up in battle formation in the valley of Zephathah at Marisha. Then Asa called to the Lord his God and said, Lord, there is no one besides you to help in the battle between the powerful and those who have no strength. So help us, O Lord, our God, for we trust in you, and in your name have come against this multitude. O Lord, you are our God. Let not man prevail against you. And God heard that prayer. This was right in the beginning of Asa's reign. He reigned about 40 years. And right in the beginning, this was the trust and faith that he had in God. And God answered him and said, the Lord routed the Ethiopians before Asa. And God gave him victory. And God prospered him, and God fulfilled his purpose through him. And God says in verse 15, now the Spirit of God came on Azariah, the son of Oded, the prophet that God had in Asa's time. And he went out to meet Asa and said to him, listen to this. And like God said to through this prophet, listen to me, Asa. And I would say, the Lord say, listen to me, CFC. And all Judah and Benjamin, the Lord is with you when you're with him. If you seek him, he will let you find him. But if you forsake him, he will forsake you. For many days, Israel was without the true God and without a teaching priest and without law. But in their distress, they turned to the Lord God of Israel. They sought him and he let them find him. There was no knowledge of the true God in that time. They didn't have a teaching priest. We'll come to that and see how important it is to have a teaching priest, a teaching elder, to have a teacher in the church. And without law, without God's word, which was a restraint, which gave direction. But God had another teacher, and he still uses that teacher, distress and trial. It's a very good teacher. Reluctantly, God has to use that teacher, but for this purpose, in their distress, they turned to the Lord God of Israel and they sought him, and he let them find him. So, God sends us trial and trouble and difficulties only for one thing, that we would turn to him. They are very good teachers. And when we don't hear God's word in the church, or we don't hear God's word speak to us through his word, and we neglect our time with the Lord and we get careless, God has a teacher, distress and trial. Because in that, God knows that we will seek him. It says then, verse 8, now when Asa heard these words, before that, it says in those times, verse 5, there was no peace to him who went out, to him who came in, for many disturbances afflicted all the inhabitants of the land. Nation was crushed by nation and city by city, for God troubled them with every kind of distress. But, the Lord said to Asa, you be strong and do not lose courage, for there is reward for your work. Now when Asa heard these words and the prophecy which Azariah the son of Oded, the prophet, spoke, he took courage and removed the abominable idols from the land of Judah and Benjamin and from the cities. He purged the land of idolatry, of all idolatry. He was a radical man, this Asa. He gathered all Judah and Benjamin and those from Ephraim, Manasseh and Simeon who resided with them, for many defected to him from Israel when they saw that the Lord, his God, was with him. There were two kingdoms, Judah and Israel. It had split after Solomon's time. Asa was king of Judah. But many from Israel, Israel had their own king. Many from Israel defected to Asa because it says there, when they saw that the Lord, his God, was with him. So they assembled at Jerusalem and they sacrificed there in verse 11. And they entered in verse 12, they entered into the covenant to seek the Lord God of their fathers with all their heart and soul. And whoever would not seek the Lord God of Israel should be put to death, whether small or great, man or woman. That's how radical this man was. And it says, moreover, they made an oath to the Lord with a loud voice, with shouting, with trumpets and with horns. All Judah rejoiced concerning the oath, for they had sworn with their whole heart and had sought him earnestly. And he let them find him. So the Lord gave them rest on every side. And that is the result. When God is pleased with us, God is pleased with our lives, we will enter into rest. It says there, God gave them rest on every side. Not only that, he was a radical man. It says in verse 16, he removed Maacah, the mother of King Asa, from the position of queen mother. His own mother removed her because she had made a horrid image as an Asherah, and Asa cut down the horrid image, crushed it, and burned it at the brook Kidron. That's how radical he was, that even if it concerned his mother, he removed her from being queen mother, because she was an idolater. He purged idolatry, and that's how it is when God is with us, like he was with Asa, we will purge all idolatry from our lives. That's how we know that God is with us. That we remove everything from our hearts so that our hearts will be completely His. And that's, And then he can show himself strong. And it says there in verse 17, the high places were not removed from Israel. Israel, I said, was another kingdom. But he removed all the high places in Judah. Nevertheless, Asa's heart was blameless all his days. And that's really wonderful, isn't it, as we see there his beginning and how radical a man he was. And for 36 years, it went well. But in the 36th year, that's what I want you to see. In the 36th year, his downslide began. Chapter 16. In the 36th year of Asa's reign, Baasha, king of Israel, came up against Judah and fortified Ramah. Here was a situation he faced, similar to what he faced in 2 Chronicles chapter 14 with the Ethiopians. I want you to see this. And then it says there that Asa brought out all the silver and gold from the treasuries of the house of the Lord. And he made a treaty. So he made a treaty with the king of Aram, who lived in Damascus, saying, "Let there be a treaty between you," verse 3, "and me, as between my father and your father. Behold, I have sent you silver and gold, and so that, you know, you will break your treaty with Baasha, and so that he doesn't come up against me." In verse 4, Ben-Hadad had listened to King Asa and sent the commanders of his armies. You know what happened? When Baasha heard that the king of Aram, who was a powerful king, broke his treaty, he stopped fighting against Asa, against Judah. Then King Asa brought all Judah, and they carried away the stones, etc. At that time, God sends another prophet, verse 7. At that time, Hanani, the seer, came to Asa, king of Judah, and said to him, "Because, listen to this, you have relied on the king of Aram and have not relied on the Lord your God. Therefore, the army of the king of Aram has escaped out of your hand. Were not the Ethiopians," 2 Chronicles chapter 14, the situation that he faced there in the beginning of his reign, "were not the Ethiopians and the Lubim an immense army with very many chariots and horsemen? Yet, because you relied on the Lord, he delivered them into your hand." And hear this word that we have up on the screen. "For the eyes of the Lord move to and fro throughout the earth, that he may strongly support those whose heart is completely his. You have acted foolishly in this," said the prophet to Asa. "Indeed, from now on, you will surely have wars, no more rest. You will have wars, you will have trouble, you will have distress." Think of how it was in the beginning and how he took courage when God spoke to him through that prophet. And he took courage with what God said to him. And he took action, removed idolatry from the land. But I want you to see here his reaction. In the 36th year, after 35 years on the throne, it says that Asa was angry with the seer, put him in prison, for he was enraged at him for this. And Asa oppressed some of the people at that time. And the acts of Asa, from first to the last, behold, they are written in the book of the kings of Judah and Israel. In the 39th year of his reign, the 36th year, his decline began, down, 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 trusting him in himself, trusting in his experience, thinking now he had it all. He purged the land of idolatry, gloried in all these externals, but he didn't trust God. He didn't rely on the Lord. And it says there, a very sad ending. That's what I want you to see. In the 39th year of his reign, Asa became diseased in his feet. His disease was so severe. Yet even in his disease, he did not seek the Lord, but the physicians. And he died. What a sad ending, isn't it? A man who began well, a man whom God endorsed, a man whom God said that he would strongly support as long as his heart was completely his, towards the end of his life, God had to withdraw that promise. Because instead of seeking the Lord in a crisis very much smaller than what he had earlier, he didn't rely on the Lord, he relied on his own strength. He relied on somebody else, on the arm of flesh. In his disease, when he was sick, instead of trusting the Lord, it's not that we don't go to doctors, we don't get medical help, that would be foolish not to do. But our trust is in God. We trust in the Lord. We are not like some who refuse to take medicine, who refuse to see doctors and die of their disease. That's foolishness. But we trust the Lord and we take the medicines and we see the doctors and get the treatment. But our trust is in the Lord. But sadly, we see that with Asa, he didn't rely on the Lord. And his decline began. And I want you to see, my brothers and sisters, we can begin so well. We can begin be radical and wholehearted. But in the end, we don't finish well. We have to look at those who finish well, not those who begin well. Those who finish well. I want to finish well. I do not know about you. We cannot glory in the past and all God has done in us and through us. We cannot glory in anything in what God has done in our own lives. We have purged idolatry. We have sought to get rid of things that displease God. That's a good thing. But we cannot glory in that. We need to endure to the end. Jesus said, he who endures in love to the end will be saved. And that is it, my brothers and sisters, how we finish the race, not how I began. You've seen even in athletics, you know, many will begin so well. They're running way ahead. I've seen races, I've seen, you know, marathons, and even seen short races. They take off and they're running well. Then something happens on the way and you see them last. And some of them fall, give up the race. I never want to be like that. I want to finish well. I hope that that is what you also want for yourself. I want you to see there, says there are, like I was saying, God uses distress to bring us to Him. Distress and trouble when we go away from Him, when we become careless. I want you to see there what I was what we were looking at earlier in 2 Chronicles 15 and 3. It says there, many days Israel was without the true God and without a teaching priest and without law. Israel was without the true God, the knowledge of the true God, without a teaching priest and without the law. And so God used, like I said, God used distress to get them to turn to Him. And that is something that we see, that God uses two things. God uses distress and trouble to get us to turn to Him. And I want you to see the second thing that we get when there is distress and trouble, the second good benefit is our heart's condition is revealed, like it was revealed in Asa's life. His heart's true condition was revealed, which he didn't see, perhaps, for many years, when he entered into a trial in 2 Chronicles in chapter 16, where he, instead of seeking help from the Lord, he sought help from man, from the arm of flesh. And God had to rebuke him and remind him that as long as his heart was completely his, God would strongly support him. But like we saw there, that he got angry. And that's what happens. Our heart's true condition is revealed in a crisis. And we know it when we are corrected or rebuked. What is our reaction? We may not have an outburst like Asa, but you know, inside we can be upset. We can be offended. God is showing me my heart's true condition. And if I could just humble myself, if Asa had humbled himself, he could have ended well. And that's something that we need to take heed to, my brothers and sisters. We learn some lessons from Esau's life. The first thing that we learn is that we must never take God's presence and favor for granted. We must never take God's presence and favor for granted. I must not comfort myself in promises, I will never, never, never leave you nor forsake you. And I don't trouble to fulfill the condition. where it says before that, let your way of life be free from the love of money, being content with what you have. So to be free from the love of money and to be content, then God says, Jesus said, I will never, never leave you nor forsake you. I cannot comfort myself that Jesus said, lo, I am with you always to the end of the age. We read there in 2 Chronicles in chapter 15, in verse 2, which we all read together. The Lord is with you when you are with Him. The Lord is with you when you are with Him. And if you seek Him, He will let you find Him. So it's not automatic. I cannot think, yeah, God has blessed me. I've got rid of many things in my life. I seek to be wholehearted. I seek to live for the Lord. But I can become careless. I can be so taken up with the externals like Esau was. You know, he purged the whole land of idolatry. He removed his mother. He was so radical. But he prided in himself in externals. And that is our danger, my brothers and sisters. When we pride ourselves in externals, it's not that we don't remove the externals which displease God. But if I glory in externals, like I think Esau began to, and that was the cause of his downfall. That's where his heart was completely his. I can glory in externals and and think that, you know, I've done a great thing. I've come a long way. God has blessed me. God has blessed my children. God has blessed my family. But my heart is far from God. My heart is not completely His. The portion of my heart that's for something else or somebody else. And God cannot strongly support us. Must never take God's presence and favor for granted. Like God said through his prophet to Esau, the Lord is with you if you are with Him. Draw nigh to God. We heard a few Wednesdays ago, and He will draw near to you. It's not automatic. Draw near to God, and He will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. So, I need to not just take a part of God's promise. And I put this up on the screen because we've heard this through the years. The eyes of the Lord run through and forth throughout the earth. And, you know, you want to do a good study. You look up and see about the eyes of the Lord. This can be very educating there. The eyes of the Lord. The eyes of God that are a flame of fire. And many things that you can really take heed to. What the eyes of the Lord look for. There are seven things. Eight, because one is repeated. Take some time. And this is one of them. The eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the earth. He may strongly support those whose heart is completely His. We have a word in Hebrews which tells us that our lives are laid bare and open before the eyes of Him with whom we have to do. There's much that I can learn about living before the eyes of God and not the eyes of man. And if I am gripped with this, that God is looking, the eyes of the Lord roam through and fro throughout the whole earth to strongly support those whose hearts are completely His. And He will support us. He'll manifest His power even supernaturally, like He did there for Esau. But I must remain faithful and true. I cannot become careless. I cannot think that God has been pleased with me and so He's blessed me and it's gone well in my life. Praise God. But let me endure to the end. Let me make sure that I don't fall away before I reach the end, before I breast the tape. Paul said, I've run the race. I've finished the course. So I fight to the end. He says, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold of eternal life. I cannot stop short because I've had many victories, because I've accomplished many things. I cannot stop short. I have to wait till I breast the tape, till the Lord calls me home or till I meet Him in the sky. And that is how we should live, my brothers and sisters. Never take God's presence for granted. Never take His grace for granted. The Lord is with you if you are with Him. If you seek Him, He will let you find Him. That's why the Lord says, seek me, all you humble of the earth. David says in one place, he says, when you said to me, seek my face, I said back to you, Lord, I will seek your face. And I can't think that, yeah, God comes seeking after me, and I can go off on one that God is running after me, God is seeking after me, so I can just be stationary, I can be careless. No, I run towards Him also. And even sometimes like that, what we've been hearing about the young prodigal, even if you're straggling towards Him, but at least you're moving towards Him. You're not going away. And that's how it should be, my brothers and sisters. We're living in days when we need to seek the Lord, when we must not take anything for granted, and we see people fall away. And I should not think that, yeah, I'm okay. You know, I'm loyal to the church. I'm faithful to the church. I've been with the church from the beginning. No, my dear brother and sister. Here's a man, 36 years. And he fell away in the last 3 years of his life. I have to endure to the very end. And to remain in humility and thankfulness, like we heard, that blessed my heart. There's that two sentences that Naresh shared last Wednesday. Humility and thankfulness. Humility and thankfulness. Right to the end. To be humble and to be thankful. I'll preserve myself. It's very easy for God to bless you and me. But it's difficult for Him to keep us humble. You know that? Very easy for Him to bless us, and we have been blessed. But it's so difficult for Him to keep us humble. So easily we get puffed up. So easily we take things for granted. David says in Psalm 41, verse 11, another word that we have heard often. By this I know, Psalm 41, verse 11. By this I know that you are pleased with me because my enemy does not shout in triumph over me. That's how I know God is pleased with me. My enemies don't triumph over me. I'm not talking about flesh and blood enemies. Excuse me. I'm talking about the enemies of our flesh. By this I know that you are pleased with me because my enemy does not shout in triumph over me. And whatever that enemy is, and whatever it is, we are battling. And battle and battle. My enemy does not shout in triumph over me. I cannot take it for granted. Like Samson, he thought the Lord was with him. He didn't know at other times. He thought the Lord was with him and he did some fantastic things. But you know the story. And when he thought the Lord was with him, the Lord was not with him. The Lord had left him. He rose, it says, as at other times. When they said, the Philistines are upon you. But he had fallen into, gone to sleep in the lap of a woman that seduced him. Let her know the secret of his strength. When Samson thought the Lord was with him, he was not. He didn't lose, not only lose his strength, he lost his eyes. He lost his eyesight, and that's what happens. We not only lose our strength and we become weak spiritually, we lose our sight. We can't see. We begin to see differently. I don't have specs, but I can see you clearly. I can say, I see all things clearly. Thank God for that. But spiritually, if I'm not careful, that I don't take for granted the Lord is with me if I'm with Him. If I seek Him, He will be found of me. And as long as I do that, I will see clearly. I will not lose my sight. I will not lose my strength. That is our calling, my brothers and sisters. To value the presence of God and not take it for granted. You know, David, when he repented of adultery and murder, one of his prayers, in his prayer, he says, cast me not away from your presence, O Lord. Cast me not away from your presence. David valued, even though he didn't have the Holy Spirit, don't cast me away from your presence. Don't take your Holy Spirit away from me. He pleaded with God. Do anything else. You take away my child, that's fine. But don't cast me away from your presence. Don't take your Holy Spirit away from me. Do we have such a heart, my brothers and sisters? Lord, take away anything, everything else. Take away everything you've given me in this earthly life. But don't take your Holy Spirit away from me. I tell you, I want that. I want that more than anything else. Let God take everything else away. But Lord, don't take your Holy Spirit away from me. Don't send me out of your presence. And if we live that way, my brothers and sisters, God will strongly support us. in marvelous ways, even in miraculous ways. Moses, he valued the presence of God. He said, Lord, no, I don't want an angel. I want you. If your presence doesn't lead us up from here, if your presence doesn't come with us from here, then don't lead us from here. And God said, I'll send you an angel. And he says, no, Lord, it's you I want, your presence. If you're coming with us, others don't lead us further. That's how it must be, my brothers and sisters. These are men who valued God's presence. But today, under the new covenant, when we have the Holy Spirit, we take it for granted. And we become careless. And we think God is with us when God is not with us. And I get some funny ideas for all kinds of things. I'm being in this church, people who have been in this church and begin to understand grace so differently. Like I was saying to somebody yesterday, you know, grace can become an idol. It's the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Don't forget that. I can't explain everything about grace. I can't explain everything what the old man is and what the flesh is. But I see Jesus. Jesus has changed my life. And that's what I said to this young man. It's Jesus. It's Jesus I want to know. It's Jesus I want to see. I'm not going to be taken up with some pet doctrine. I know in the past years, when we went through a phase, we were taken up with Christ manifest in the flesh. That was some secret, you know, like I was saying to him. I said, like KFC has their secret ingredient. Nobody knows. That's why you like their chicken. Secret ingredient. So, you know, there are people going around in Christendom with their secret ingredient. They suddenly discover something. You discover something you think you have not seen before. You don't know that you're being deceived. And that's where we need to preserve ourselves in this day and age. There is no secret ingredient. It's Jesus, my brothers and sisters. We want to see Jesus. If you have Jesus, you have everything. You'll understand everything. Even though you may not be able to explain it to others. And so don't be fooled by such people. The other thing I want you to see that we learn from Asa's life, that wholeheartedness, like I was saying, is not just in externals, but in our inner man. Wholeheartedness is not just in externals. You see, he had a fantastic external life. Even when it came to his own mother. But that didn't preserve him. The eyes of the Lord search for those whose hearts are completely his, not for those who are radical. God wants people to be radical. We have to do violence to enter the kingdom of God. But the eyes of the Lord roam to and fro for those whose hearts are completely his. Do you know it's possible to major on externals and all these, whatever it is, whether it's dress and behavior and all the other things that we may consider worldly. And it's not that we allow such things to come into our lives, no. But I don't major on externals. It's not the important thing, and I think that was the cause of Asa's downfall. Jesus said to the Pharisees, clean the inside of the cup. To the leader of the church in Ephesus, he says, I have something against you. You have left your first love. And if you read there all the things that he commends this leader about, many things. He couldn't stand false apostles, false teaching. He tested everybody. But the Lord says, I have something against you. You have left your first love. Repent and do the deeds you did at first. So it's not the externals. We must remember it's the inner man, the inside of the cup that we are to clean. David himself said in that same psalm of repentance, behold, he says, you desire truth in the innermost being. And in the hidden part, you'll make me to know wisdom. Truth in the innermost being. That's important. And I see that if we don't pay heed to that, it becomes manifest. And I've seen one characteristic of all the ones who go away offended or okay, they're corrected or rebuked, is that they tell lies. Where did that come from? There's not a 100% honesty. There's dishonesty in some of the statements that have been made. Where did it come from? Because if we don't concentrate, that it's truth in the innermost being that God values, my brothers and sisters. So we don't You don't have to be surprised when in an instance that you so quickly can tell a lie. You don't even see something as a false statement. It's a serious thing. If I'm only majoring on externals, if I'm only cleaning the outside of the cup, and I don't take heed to my inner man, you desire truth in the innermost being, in the hidden part you'll make me to know wisdom. And the other thing I want you to see there, there are three things there in verse 3 of chapter 15. It says, many days Israel was without the true God, without a teaching priest, and without the law. I want to see that that is what is needed for us to live a godly life, for us to be preserved, and for us to finish well. A true knowledge of God. Not knowing about God. Many people know about God and explain Him and can explain Him to others. They know about the true God. But to know God are two different things. To know about the true God and to know the true God are two entirely different things. I can have a knowledge of God that many people have, knowledge of the true God, but to know Him personally, that's quite a different thing. Israel, it says they was without the true knowledge of God, without the knowledge of God. That's why they went into such bad idolatry. The other thing that was lacking there, they did not have a teaching priest. A teacher who can teach them and lead them in the right way. Do you know it is a great grace of God to have a teacher in the church? I don't know how many of you really value that God has blessed us here in Bangalore, in CFC Bangalore, and giving us Brother Sang. I don't know, you know, those who have been with us, those who have gone away from, how much they have valued a teacher, God, who has been given a gift of God to teach God's Word, not that we come to know about Him and know about God's Word, but that we know God's ways. It speaks about the people under Moses' time. It says, they saw His works, but only Moses knew His ways. You and I have been sitting in this church. Have we seen only God's works in our lives, in the different situations, or have we come to know His ways? Then we have benefited from the teacher in the church. I want to say that I've come to know God's ways. And I thank God for a brother like Brother Zach. I don't believe in flattery, but I really believe that the church and the churches have not valued somebody that God has given us. When you look at the confusion in Christendom, I was looking at some things, a clip on TV of these TV preachers at mega churches, and I couldn't sleep that night. Because I don't have time to watch these TV preachers, but I saw something there because there are some people who are with us going around and getting people to listen to a famous TV preacher. So you must listen. Even getting one, trying to coerce one young sister, you've got to listen to him. You should listen to him. I want to warn you against such ones. They were brothers and sisters here who broke bread with us. I want to warn you against them. And if you give a ear to them, you will be seduced like they have been. You'll be deceived. And go and listen to this TV preacher who says that, you know, that people who live in homosexuality can go to heaven. Gays can go to heaven. And another TV preacher denounces him and tears him down. Oh, I was saying, Lord, I wept. I said, Lord, you've saved us. You've preserved us, and here we take it for granted. You've given us a teaching priest. You've given us a teacher in the church to lead us in the right direction. And I tell you, my brothers and sisters, the church of Jesus Christ today has suffered because they have not valued the gift that God has given in the church, the gift of teachers. And that is why there's no restraint. That's why there's all kinds of things. People do as they like. The other thing that we see there, the third thing, they were without law, without the word of God. The Torah You know, it was the word of God then that gave direction, that put restraint on their behavior, different things. Under the new covenant, we don't have the Torah, we don't just have the Old Testament. We have the Holy Spirit and we have the whole Bible. All scripture is inspired by God. So God teaches us, God leads us, that I can know God, the true God. I can have a true knowledge of God. You know, Peter sees this. I want you to look at this verse in 2 Peter chapter 1 in verse 3. It says that seeing that His divine power, 2 Peter chapter 1 in verse 3, seeing that His divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness through the true knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and excellence. And then it says in verse 8, listen to this, if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they render you neither useless nor unfruitful in the true knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Why does the Holy Spirit use that word, the true knowledge of God, the true knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ? Because there's a false knowledge. Because there's deception. So God's divine power has granted us everything pertaining to life and to godliness through the true knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and excellence. That I can have a true knowledge of God. I can know, not know about Him, but really know Him. And the other thing is that to have, like I said, to have a teaching priest. Not just prophets. You know, those who speak forth the word of God, inspired interpreters of the will and purpose of God, but teachers. That's a spiritual gift. We don't have time to look at it. Acts chapter 13 verse 1, there were prophets and teachers in the church in Antioch. To teach God's ways through His word, give direction the prophets, and those who to treat the truths, to teach the truths of the Bible. 1 Corinthians 12 verse 28, that's a gift of the Spirit. Ephesians chapter 4 verse 11, God has given to the church. And because of the lack of teachers in the church today, my brothers and sisters, I'm talking about the believing church. That's why there is so much of confusion and deception. They would rather concentrate on evangelism and church planting and speaking in tongues and healing and what I say, a perversion of prophecy. It's not prophecy, the prophecy of the scriptures, a perversion of it. And that's fortune telling. That's what we see today. And there's an absolute neglect of teachers in the church. And I pray that God will raise up from among our young people teachers. And I tell you, you can't become a teacher of the scriptures unless you give yourself to God's word, unless you yourself take time and take trouble. We've heard so many times in this church. I don't know how many of you young people, you spend time on the internet and you do so many other things with all the gadgets that we have today. How much time do you give to God's word? How much of a longing is there? You cannot help in the church in the future. There will be deception. And you think CFC is free from it? It's already begun. And if there are not young people, young brothers and sisters, gripped with the word of God, who give themselves to the study of God's word, who forsake all the other things, and they want to study God's word, what even if it is to sit up late at night. I thank God that I'm drawn to, even to today, for all the 46 years that I have followed Jesus, I have a longing for God's word. And I go to God's word because there's a longing, there's a drawing, not because I have to read my Bible. There's a drawing, like a baby cries for milk, it says. That's how we begin. If that is not there, my brothers and sisters, something is wrong. And I want to say to you, young brothers and sisters, the future of this church is in jeopardy, is in danger. If God doesn't raise up among you, brothers and sisters, with a knowledge of God's word. But it's brothers that God needs. It's because the sisters are not to be teachers of the word. It's brothers. And I want to say to you young men, some of you are lazy. Some of you spend time on all your gadgets and all the other things that you have on the internet and all the other gimmicks that we have today. The devil has succeeded in fooling some of you young men. And leading you away from studying God's word. Will you take it seriously? God will strongly support you if your heart is completely His. And I'm not telling you about an academic study of the scriptures. I'm talking about getting to know God's word. We're going to depend on Brother Zach. He's 73. Soon he'll be 75. Is God not raising up others whom God can use, whom God can mold and educate and break? You have to be broken, I tell you, especially to be a teacher. You've got to be broken. I was saying to one young man yesterday, you could have had a ministry in CFC if you had let God break you. What's the good of a study of the word if God doesn't break you? And I want to say to young men, don't decide that you're going to suddenly become a teacher in this church. Let God break you. And the only way you can be broken is to be under authority. Come under authority. That God can break you, raise you up, and use you in the coming days in this church. I want you to look at a word in 2 Peter chapter 2. 2 Peter in chapter 2. Verses 1 and 2. I want to read this to you from the Message Bible. I'm just going to take 5 minutes more, but I feel this is important. But there were also lying prophets. This is the Message Bible. But there were also lying prophets among the people then, just as there will be lying religious teachers among you. Listen to this. They'll smuggle in destructive divisions, pitting you against each other, biting the hand of the one who gave them a chance to have their lives back. They put themselves on a fast downhill slide to destruction, but not before they recruit a crowd of mixed up followers who can't tell right from wrong. They give the way of truth a bad name. They're only out for themselves. They'll say anything that sounds good to exploit you. They won't, of course, get by with it. They'll come to a bad end, for God has never just stood by and let that kind of thing go on. We're living in such days, my brothers and sisters. Destructive heresies, it says. Those smuggling destructive heresies with very fine names of grace and whatever else. And it says they're pitting you against each other, biting the hand of the one who gave them a chance to have their lives back. And that is happening before our eyes. I pray that God will raise up in this church young men who would know God's word, would have understanding. I want to see one last thing in Matthew chapter 15, in verses 16 to 17. Jesus said there to his disciples, "Are you still lacking in understanding also? Do you not understand that everything that goes into the mouth passes into the stomach and eliminated?" I want you to turn now to Mark chapter 8, verses 17 to 21. Pay attention, my dear young people. Jesus, aware of this, said, "Why do you discuss the fact that you have no bread?" You know, they've forgotten to take bread. "Do you not yet see or understand? Do you have a hardened heart? Having eyes, do you not see? And having ears, do you not hear? And do you not remember when I broke the 5 loaves? For the 5,000, how many baskets full of broken pieces you picked up?" They had the right answer, 12. "When I broke the 7 for the 4,000, how many large baskets full of broken pieces did you pick up?" There again, they had the right answer. They said to him, 7. Good. And he's saying to them, "Do you not yet understand?" I see the burden of Jesus' heart here with his disciples. Turn again in Mark chapter 60, verses 50 to 52. It says, "They all saw Jesus when he was walking on the sea and were terrified. But immediately he spoke to them and said to them, 'Take courage, it is I, do not be afraid.' Then he got into the boat with them and the wind stopped. And they were utterly astonished, for they had not gained any insight from the incident of the loaves, but their heart was hardened." In Matthew chapter 22 and verse 29, Jesus answered and said to the Pharisees, to the Sadducees, "You are mistaken, not understanding the scriptures nor the power of God." I want you to see this, my brothers and sisters, particularly you young people. The two disciples on the road to Emmaus, when Jesus gave them that wonderful Bible study there, beginning with Moses, Luke 24 in verses 27, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them the things concerning himself in all the scriptures. And then in verse 32 it says, they said to one another, were not our hearts burning within us while he was speaking to us on the road, while he was explaining the scriptures to us? In Luke chapter 24, in verses 44 to 45, Jesus said to them, these are my words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things which are written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled. Then he opened their mind to understand the scriptures. I want you to see those two words, understanding and insight. To understand the scriptures, not know about it, not have an academic knowledge about it, to understand the scriptures. Only Jesus can do that for us, my brothers. Only Jesus can open your mind and mine. Only the Holy Spirit can give you understanding of the scriptures. Only the Holy Spirit can give you insight. That we can learn from the incidents that happen in our lives. We get insight. We get understanding. God's word becomes living. I get revelation. And that's what I want to encourage young people. And that's what I say to you this morning. You need to get revelation. You need to get insight. You need to ask God for the spirit of wisdom and revelation. That's the burden Paul had for the Ephesian church. In Ephesians chapter 1 verse 17. That God would give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the true knowledge of Him. That's what will preserve the church. That's what will preserve us in these last days. The Ethiopian eunuch, when he was reading from the book of Isaiah and the Spirit of God, I want you to see this. It excites me how interested God is in revealing His Word, in revealing the truth of His Word to us. He gives Philip and, brings Philip to meet this Ethiopian eunuch. He hears him reading the prophet Isaiah. He said, do you understand what you're reading? And that's in Acts chapter 8. And he said, how can I accept someone explain? And he invited him up into the chariot. And then Philip explained to him. He's asking, who's the prophet speaking about? And then he spoke to him about Jesus. And he had a personal encounter and he was baptized. Now that was the beginning of a church in Ethiopia. That's what we need, my dear brothers and sisters. Understanding. Understanding of God's ways. Not having something to share on Wednesday. That you have something and then it can be a blessing. But you understand. You get understanding. You get insight. That is what God wants for us. And one last word in 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5 verse 20 says, we know that the Son of God has come and has given us understanding. We know, it says before that, the whole world lies in the power of the evil one. But we also know that the Son of God has come and has given us understanding so that we may know Him who is true, and we are in Him who is true, in His Son Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. I've taken a little more time, but I have a burden in my heart for the young people in this church who I believe, in spite of all the exhortations, have not given themselves to get to know God's word, to get to know God's ways, to get understanding, to get insight. The eyes of the Lord are roaming to and fro over this church to show Himself strong on behalf of those whose hearts are completely His. I hope yours will be one of them. Let's pray. Can you respond to God this morning? Let us stop being careless hearers. Jesus said we are to take care how we listen. And also to take care what we listen to. God speaks to your heart this morning. Would you covenant with Him and say, Lord, I want my heart to be completely yours. Completely yours. I surrender myself to you, Lord. Forgive me for my carelessness. You've given me your word, but I've had such a casual attitude. I want to stop measuring on externals. I want to clean the inside of my cup, Lord. I want truth in my innermost being. In the hidden part, you'll make me to know wisdom, wisdom that will bless others. Pour out your spirit upon me. I'm a needy man, I'm a needy woman. I give myself to you, Lord, for the short time that's left. In Jesus' name, amen.
Let's sing this song. We haven't sung for some time. You've longed for sweet peace and for faith to increase. The chorus says, "Is you're all on the altar of sacrifice laid. Your heart is the spirit control. You can only be blessed and have peace and sweet rest as you yield Him your body and soul." Suresh, you know the song? Yeah. And I want to encourage you, brothers and sisters, to respond to God's word. Say, "Lord, I want my heart to be completely yours." And if there are any idols to be broken, I hope this morning you'll break every idol. Say, "Lord, touch me this morning. I want to be one of those whose heart is yours totally. Let it not just be a song, brothers and sisters." The Lord wants many brothers, especially the young people. The Lord wants to support you. And if the Lord can't support you, it's good to ask, "Why is the Lord not supporting me?" Yeah, it's good to ask. And go and seek for help. Ask someone in whom you are confident. "Brother, I want to know, why is the Lord not supporting me?" It's a good question to ask this morning. Don't assume that the Lord is supporting you. And let's respond to God this morning. Let's sing this song.
Can we make this personal? I don't want anyone to sing a lie. But if there are some here who hears what the Spirit is saying to the church, can we say, as we sing this chorus, "Yes, my all on the altar of sacrifice is laid. Yes, my heart the Spirit controls. I can only be blessed and have peace and sweet rest as I yield Him my body and soul." You willing to say that to the Lord? You can be honest. Say, "Lord, make me willing to be willing. Make me willing to be willing that my all on the altar of sacrifice is laid from this morning, from this moment." Shall we sing it that way? "Yes, my all on the altar of sacrifice is laid." Maybe we can stand and sing.
Yeah, Lord, we seek you as a church and we pray this morning, Lord, you will, Lord, help us, Lord, that every idol will be removed this morning in our midst, Lord, that we shall respond to you, to the working of your Spirit, to the prompting of your Spirit this morning. And we pray, Lord, that give us the Spirit like Esau to break every idol this morning, Lord. Yes, Lord, and we want you to support us, Lord Jesus. We want to be a church that's supported by you, Lord. Yes, Lord, in every area of our life, we want a mighty manifestation of your power, Lord. We pray this morning, Lord, you will move mightily in our midst, Lord, and bring deliverance, Lord. Bring freedom, Lord, and bring victory, Lord. Bring courage and hope, Lord. Yes, Lord, into the lives of your people this morning, Lord. Yeah, we pray this morning you'll have your way, Lord. Move amongst us, Lord, through your Spirit. And yes, Lord, thank you. And always lead your people in victory and triumph, Lord. Yes, Lord, we surrender this morning. We submit to you, Lord. And we pray that your Spirit will have full freedom in our midst, Lord. And we want you, Lord Jesus, to lead us in triumph, Lord, as you have promised, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your heart longs to support us, Lord. Now we praise you and we worship you. We give you glory this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.